So as I said earlier, this week is the second week in a little two-week series that we're doing on church membership. And the reason that we're doing this series is that it's actually part of a bigger picture where we as a church are looking at how we do membership and whether there is actually a better way that we can incorporate it into the life of our church. Now, church membership has always sort of been there for us. It's important, but I guess we've never really elevated in any sort of way. And people would generally approach to us and say, hey, we want to be members because they've been members of a church in the past and they think it's the right thing to do. And they come and be members and we welcome them and ruddy, ruddy, ruh. And it's all really good, but it hasn't really fitted in an integrated way in terms of what does it mean in regards to church membership, to be a follower of Jesus in this church at Gisborne Church of Christ. And so what we're doing is over this period of 6 months, starting earlier on the year and working through to somewhere around August, September, we're having a really closer look at it. And we're trying to work out, is there a better fit? Is there actually a better way for us as a church to express membership and to even define it? Now, one of the questions we're asking is how does it actually fit into our discipleship pathway? And if we could have this up on the screen, hopefully we've got this working. Ah, there it is. So you, if you've been with us, would be familiar with this. We visit this periodically. For the last 12 months, we've been talking about how we as a church want to help people to discover, know, and then partner with Jesus in his mission. And that we recognize around that circle, there's a whole lot of steps that we could be taking in order to help us to grow in discovering Jesus, to grow in knowing him better, to grow in learning what it means to partner with him. And so earlier this year, we ran our Alpha course, which was really designed to help people discover Jesus and get to know him, start to get to know him. And then we're doing things like our planted groups and our connect groups, which are up and running right now. And that's very much in that know space of trying to help people get to know Jesus better. And we're also hoping and are providing lots of different opportunities for people to learn to partner with Jesus in mission. And whether that's in your places of work, in your schools, in your family life, or even together as teams. And in later on, when is it? Early next year it is, we're going to be leading a team. I'll be leading a team to Thailand. Another way in which we can partner with Jesus in his mission. But there's this idea that for all of us, there will be a next step that we could take, a next step that will help us grow in our faith. And we think that somewhere in there, membership has a role. Membership has a fit. So there's a six-month process that we're working through. We announced it earlier on the year at the AGM. We formed a consultative group, myself, Mark Huggins, Mark Ingalls, and Sandra Turnbull, and we've met, we've studied scriptures, we've done some other reading, we've looked at different church models, and as a result of that, we put out a survey. We chose 16 people, and most of those people have now filled out that survey, and we thank you for doing that to those people, asking them three really basic questions about church membership. The group was a very diverse group of people representing all sections of our church, and those answers are really informing those next steps for us. And then we're doing this preaching series, and then sometime in term three, probably around mid-term three into the second half, there will be further discussion as a church around some proposals that the oversight will bring forward around how we can do membership better. Now, with this recent survey that we did, we asked a couple of different questions, and the first question was, do you believe that a form of church membership is an important aspect of church life? And interestingly, of those that have responded, and we've had 14 of the 16 responders, those that responded unanimously agreed that it was, that church membership actually is an important part of church life. And their responses are best, I guess, is best encapsulated by this one response, which I'll read out, and it'll be up on the screen behind me as well. And this one response, which I guess is a good summary response of all those responses to this question, is, I guess I'm saying that to be a member is to pledge to become part of the whole and to function within the whole in thought, word, and deed. To enable this particular church, at Gisborne Church of Christ, to be God's family, God's body, God's building, which is itself part of a whole, his kingdom here on earth. A lot in that answer. but it's speaking something towards that which was responded in the survey. Now, we asked another question. And the other question was, we actually asked three. There was either a yes or no to the first question. If they answered no, they had to go to the second. If they answered yes, they had to go to the third. Because everyone answered yes, they went straight to the third and no one had to answer the second. Anyway, we've got another question. When they asked what are the minimum qualifications that one should have to become a member, the responses were a bit more varied, though similar. Now, a summary of all the responses, of the 14 responses that we've got, is best encapsulated in the next three that I want to share. So the first one, someone with a living faith, demonstrated by a commitment to following Jesus and growing in his love. This will look different for each person. It is not measured by how long a person has been walking with Christ, but whether they walk with Christ. A second response, qualification of a member, a commitment to participate in the life of the church in worship, discipleship, and fellowship, which at times will require sacrifice in making decisions that prioritizes that participation. And then a third response of the qualification to be a member. I'm not sure we know what regular attendance means, and I'm not sure we can place a dollar amount on giving. That'd be nice measurables, though. Perhaps some sense of members' covenant, which names expectations around prayerful and pastoral support, engagement in ministry and mission at Gisborne Church of Christ, financial and time offering, and so on. So there are the responses. And I guess that's quickly just a brief summary of the responses. And as a consultative group, we're going to continue to lean on those responses as our discussions progresses. Now, one of the problems that I've always had with church membership is that we actually call it membership. When we become a member of a football club, we pay some good money. And we become heavily invested in the success of our football club. And because we've paid good money, we get certain rights. We get rights to attend games. We get rights to a vote at meetings and so on. We get rights to support our team. We get access to the players, depending on how much you've paid. Now, when we become a member of something like the RACV, we pay good money again, and our expectation is that when we need them, they'll be there for us. When we've got a flat battery or a flat tire, or we've locked our keys in the car or whatever it might be, they will come and they will rescue us in the situation we find ourselves in. Now, a footy club membership and an RACV membership is probably well worth the investment, but it's a transactional investment. It's where you pay some money and you get something in return. The problem that I have with this sense of belonging and commitment to the church is that it's never meant to be transactional. So if we're bringing that cultural understanding of what membership is, we're bringing a transactional understanding. And that's not what I believe was ever intended for church membership. Instead of transactional, it's meant to be transformational. It's meant to be about change and growth. Becoming committed to a church is about the change that takes place in my life as I engage in that church and with other people. It's about the change that happens in others around me as we share that journey of faith together. It's about the change that happens around of those around me who don't yet know Jesus. It's a transformational investment, not a transactional. William Temple, who was the Bishop of Canterbury just after World War II, has a famous quote, which is that the church is the only organization in the world that exists for those who aren't yet its members. The only organization in the world that exists for those who aren't yet its members. See, transformational church membership is an investment that is into something bigger than ourselves. It's a commitment and an investment to see growth in God's kingdom as is expressed through this local church. Now, I want to explore two passages today, two brief passages. They're 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, and Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 31. Let me read them both to you now. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 31, it says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I've never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Two passages. The first one was from Peter. The second one was the recording by Luke of the Apostle Paul. Two different church leaders, both very significant early church leaders in their own right. And both of them emphasizing the importance of belonging to the church. Now, I think there's three takeaways we can take from this passage, these two passages. And the first one is this, that a form of organization and structure in the church is assumed. Both Paul and Peter assume that there is organization and structure in the church. There are those in authority. There are those under authority. All ultimately are under God's authority. Then there's the flock. There's those that care for others and those that need care. From these passages and elsewhere in the New Testament, it is clear that organization and structure in the church occurs. Now, our culture has become increasingly anti-institutional. For the church, which is seen as an old institution, this presents a great challenge. Even many committed Christians have rejected the concept of church membership because they've questioned, quite rightly at times, both the behavior of and the need of the church in terms of it being an institution. But my reading of passages such as this and others in the New Testament is that the church was never intended to be an institution. Rather, the early church in the book of Acts was a series of cooperative networks. The individual early churches, they were aware of each other. They even supported each other, at times very generously. But they were not structured or organized in the way that church denominations are today, for example. But on the local level, the churches were organized and there were structures in place. A commitment to church membership is not really about the commitment to the institution. A commitment to church membership is actually about the commitment to be in relationship with each other, to be supporting for, praying for, caring for, nurturing and journeying with each other through the travails of life and faith. Now, from time to time, I do some work with some married couples or soon-to-be married couples, and it's always an enjoyable experience. And one of my roles in this space is to help those couples to build a relationship that is healthy and functioning really well. So we do a lot of work around communication, around resolving conflict. We look at a bit of family of origin stuff, and it's all really interesting. But sometimes I say to them, 1 + 1 = 3. 1 + 1 = 3. Now, it doesn't make any sense mathematically, I know that. But there is a great truth in the statement because when two people come together in covenantal partnership with each other, there are greater possibilities. There is greater potential for success and for impact. There is greater relational connections that can occur, not just with each other, but those around them. It's where the sum of the whole becomes greater than the sum of the parts. And so the church needs to organize and structure itself so that everyone and anyone has this same opportunity to experience the very best of relational connection with each other and with God. Now, second takeaway I think we can take from this passage is that everyone needs to come under authority. Everyone needs to come under authority. For Peter and for Paul, this means that ultimately we are all under God's authority. But that membership of the local church is an important expression of this key value. So at Gisborne Church of Christ, it looks something like this, and we'll have it up on the screen. You have your church members. Church members, if they're participating in the life of the church in some way, will come under the authority of ministry leaders and staff. So this morning we were here, and our young people were leading us in worship, and we came under their authority as we allowed them to lead us. At the moment, we've got young people out in various programs being led, and they're coming in under the authority of those that are leading them. Now, ministry leaders and staff then come under the authority of the senior minister. I guess that's me. But the role of the senior minister is to support and encourage, to affirm, to resource, and to correct occasionally our ministry leaders and staff. Now, the senior minister comes under the authority of the oversight of the elders of this church. And the oversight's role, one of their roles, is to keep this person, me, in check. And so each time we meet, there's some questions that they ask, and there's some forms, templates that we've designed that I fill out that give them an idea of how I'm tracking, both personally in my own walk with God, but also in terms of where we're heading in terms of ministry, and we're looking at what outcomes are we trying to achieve and how are we going with those things. And I come under the authority of the oversight. Now, the oversight come under the authority of the church members. The oversight are there to ensure that the church is healthy, is growing, is functioning, and is doing the right thing, is governed in the right way, is not making mistakes, is a safe place as they come under the authority of church members. Now, there's only one way in which this structure can work. And if we can go to that next slide, thanks, Oscar. It's when all of us, every single one, is prepared to come under the authority of Christ. Peter places a real emphasis in his passage on humility. In verse 2, he says, leaders that have the posture of serving others. In verse 3, he instructs leaders not to be lording it over other people. And then in verse 5, he says to the younger, which could be all people, to submit to the leadership. And in verse 5, Peter coins this beautiful phrase where he says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. I think this here is a key reason why we should do church membership. That all of us are in mutually submitting relationships with each other. Relationships that have a depth to them. That can only happen by doing life with each other, by being in each other's space and by sharing the journey with each other, but also in a degree of accountability. Where there's appropriate correction and encouragement in those areas. And when it comes to being under authority, it doesn't mean that we have to blindly follow leaders. It doesn't mean that we don't question leaders. But if those who are in leadership are people who prove to be prayerful, trustworthy, faithful, and of good character, then the very best thing we can do, the very best way we can support and encourage them in their leadership, is to follow them. All of us need to be under authority. The third key takeaway from these passages when it comes to church membership is that we operate best in a flock. We operate best in a flock. Both Peter and Paul describe the church in these passages as a flock, and it's an interesting and commonly used metaphor to describe the church, the flock, the sheep who are cared for by the good shepherd. Paul, in this passage in Acts, also speaks of the potential danger to the flock. He describes this danger as like savage wolves, some coming from outside the flock, some even coming from within. And Paul says that the best form of defense for the flock is for it to stay together. There's no doubt that there's some safety in numbers. But the sheep who are committed to staying together are far better able to combat the enemy attacks than those who are out there on the fringes, who are not committed into a local church life. Now, there's an added component here to God's protection and his provision, and that is found when the flock is keeping its eyes on the Good Shepherd, on Jesus, who paid the ultimate price for us with his own blood in order that we can find forgiveness, freedom, and full life, and most significantly, a family in the form of the local church. A family who love, who care, who encourage, who inspire, who grieve when we are grieving, who celebrate when we are doing well, a family who are doing life together. As we reflect on the responses to this series, the last 2 weeks, to the survey that we did, and as we look ahead to the future, there's a few things that I think we can do in terms of articulating some summary values that I guess tie it all together. Some summary values around church membership, where we as a church are landing into this space. And those values are as follows. First one is that we're better together. We're better together. Being a Christian in our world today is hard work. And when we come together, when we can bounce off each other, when we can share ideas with each other, when we can encourage and help each other grow, and all those things, we are simply better together. The second summary value is that we're better because of our differences. We're better because of our differences. The passage we're in last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talked about unity in diversity. There's a great strength in diversity. In fact, diversity should be encouraged. We're better because of our differences. One of the things we do as an oversight is that we've articulated, an agreed set of behaviours. And one of the agreed set of behaviours that we articulated is that we'll not be afraid to disagree with each other. And I think that's really important. Because when there's some disagreement, when you're discussing something and one person might be particularly strong about a position and the other person might be particularly strong about an alternative position, and you're discussing it around, if you're doing it in the right way, you're able to come together. And almost always, the end result's better. Because the initial idea that was being proposed wasn't as rounded or as developed or as mature as it could have been. And in the disagreement, some shaping starts to happen. And the idea that was being proposed actually starts to become better. At least that's been the experience of the oversight. We're better when we're under authority, the next summary value. We're better when we're under authority. Some of us find this really hard, to be under authority. But the reality is that when we've got people that are prepared to speak into our lives, to encourage us, to correct us, to say to us, just to believe in us, to speak belief into us, we become better. We're better when we're under authority. And finally, we're better when we are strongly committed to Jesus and each other. We're better when we're strongly committed to Jesus and each other. Church membership is a structure that can facilitate us being better in our faith. Better in our faith in Jesus. And as a result, we do life better. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. And as they're coming forward, I'm going to finish by praying. And then we're going to sing one final song. Lord, we want to thank you that we can explore Scripture in this way. And that you have actually designed the church with a plan and a purpose so that we can be better, so that we can be better followers of Jesus, and so that we can be better at reaching out into our world to bring the good news to those who at the moment have no hope. And we ask for us now, as we sing this final song and declare afresh to you how great you are, we ask that you would speak into our hearts. about the plan, about the role, about the purpose that you have for each and every one of us in this place. At Gisborne Church of Christ, the local expression of faith that is here in the Macedon Ranges. Speak to us afresh now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.